respect to infrastructure, we engage in planning infrastructure to ensure no overlap. With respect to policy development and particularly implementation, there are task teams which are available to ensure that there's a seamless implementation of policies, and also we have an opportunity to engage in policy development. With respect to epidemic preparedness, the city has a city of Cape Town has a community for disease control team, which does develops plans for to prepare for epidemics and also to respond to outbreaks. We've had a number of outbreaks in the last year or so, including measles outbreaks, and we had a mini diphtheria outbreak, and now we've had the listeria. So in a nutshell, that is the services rendered from the city and how the city works with the provincial government. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The gentleman who just joined us, good morning. Just for our input purposes, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, my name is Riyad Adamson, and I'm from a parliamentary monitoring group.
Members, do you want to pose questions now, or shall we go on to the next presentation? Yes, please, to take questions now. Okay. Mark, we'll take questions now. Member Makalini.
Thanks, Chairperson. I tried to go through this presentation this morning because we only received now, and there's a lot that that's in the presentation that's not necessarily on what we requested for the presentation. It was in the main, we wanted to understand the collaboration and further when is the province taking over the services that are rendered by the city. So I thought that the presentation in the main will be there. But because now it's the first time that I have interaction with the city of Cape Town, I've got page questions almost on every page, and it's going to make it difficult for us to reach our time. But maybe just for clarity, as the presentation was being made, on page 5, there's a map that shows the different areas. You know, trying to understand the areas besides the districts and the sub-districts. Because earlier on, he spoke about 4 areas, and then he then said there's sub-districts within the areas. And like, if I'm looking at the map in front of me, and if you see in the smaller column there, it indicates which one is pink and which one is blue. But if you see Khayelitsha or the Eastern and the Tigerberg, they look the same. Now, I need to understand if that is the same area, or maybe if you can help me understand what area is in what, which areas are in what sub-district, so that just for my understanding, because I understand they're just dealing with the city of Cape Town, and the areas that you might be thinking of are the provincial ones. So if then they can assist for me there. I'm going to try and move fast for you, Chairperson. On page 12, there's a page on staff norms that are determined by the size of the clinic and the accounts. And I basically wanted to understand if the service level agreement for staff members, is it the same across the city? And also the working conditions for the staff members are the same across the city. What you'll find in the central, you'll find in Kraaifontein, for instance, or in Mitchell's Plain. And if also the community-based team that you're talking about in the following point, that talks about community-based service team, are those City of Cape Town staff or coming from the community? I also need clarity there. Maybe also you can also give me an expert in understanding if the community care workers of the province and the City of Cape Town, do they get the same training? Are they the same? Do they have the same service level agreement? Or there is no such a thing as provincial ones and City of Cape Town ones? Even J, I can also get an idea of what is going on there. I was hoping, Chair, in the main, because I on page 16 then, because on the page 16 we're talking about the service level current sign and the service level agreement. I was hoping that we are going to get what contains the service level agreement, because that's what we need to understand, so that we understand what are these agreements, and if they are not overlapping, and if they are reasonable as well, for us to have a comfort in this service level agreement, and so that we can have a proper oversight on them as well. And with the way it's been presented, it does not give me that understanding. Well, that's where I think we need to clarify on. Same applies to the corporate framework agreement. I thought they will also get more clearer information, because for me it does not help to know that it is there, but I don't know what it contains. So if you can just take us through that, so that we can also have an idea of what is going on. Then another one on page 17, I'm trying to move fast on the infrastructure, Chairperson. When the presentation was made, it was stated that other things that they look at are the issues of overlapping. And I need to understand that, because, for instance, in Khayelitsha, I had a talk another day with the minister. I'll refer to Khayelitsha because I am coming from that community. I was talking with the minister the other day, and he made mention of some clinics that will be closed in the near future. And to avail for a district hospital, if I'm quoting you properly, you will clarify, but my point is there will be clinics that will be closed to avail for a bigger hospital. And some of these clinics are needed, and some of them are overlapping. For instance, the same word 94 that I'm speaking about, there are lots of clinics and district hospital in one area, and the infrastructure sometimes I feel I'm not going to say I'm overwhelmed, but I am happy with what it is, and if there is an issues of overlapping, how do they determine that, and how is it resolved as well, to ensure that we have the free balance of infrastructure across the city of Cape Town, or in fact further across the province, but it might not affect them when I'm going beyond the city of Cape Town. Now lastly, I need to understand how effective are these collaborations, and nothing much is said about them, so that I can also have peace when I'm sleeping at home, that the collaboration is working or the collaboration is not working, and what are the issues, what are the challenges that they're having in the collaboration itself. I need a chair.
And welcome to Member Mitchell. Thank you, Chair. Just a few questions. First is, in the service level agreement, for the functions that you're required to perform by this agreement, are all of these funded or only partly funded? And then secondly, if you have some infrastructure needs, so for example, if a new clinic needs to be built in order to deliver services as contained in the service level agreement, who would cover these kind of infrastructure costs? Would it be the city or would it be the province?
Thank you. Member Lecker.
Thank you, Chair. My first question, Chair, would be on the issue of the service level agreement. I would like to understand exactly what does this service level agreement entail. And the second part is on the environmental health practitioners in relation to health and hygiene. In the areas that are listed here, can I just get an indication as to what is the total number of the health environmental health practitioners, and in the areas that they are deployed, what are the challenges that they are faced with, and also if at any stage this kind of service is linked to the IDP, has the environmental health practitioners visited areas regularly to ensure that issues of health are taken into consideration? Then, Chair, the second part is also around the what you call improving healthy lifestyle. How do you measure that in respect to the strategic goals that are set by the department, and if that has been working well, what are the lessons learned through that? And the other one, Chair, is in relation to the issues of specialized services. And my concern is particularly on male clinics. How many male clinics do we have in the city of Cape Town, and under which areas do they fall to? And also, in relation to that, has issues let me leave that one for now and go to page 8 under mental health. When we're talking of mental health, I wish to understand whether the department is funding mental health optimally, or it is the city of Cape Town, and if so, what are the partnerships that are there between the department and other stakeholders that are in existence? I'll pause for now.
Chair,
mine is, how does a ordinary member in the community know that this service belongs to the city and this service belongs to the province? How do we communicate those things to our ordinary people? And secondly, when does the province decide is now going to take over the services? What takes place before the province decides this is going to belong to the province and this is going to belong to the city?
That will be the round for now. We'll go to follow up or to the next round.
All right, thank you very much. I'll answer some of the questions and my director will chip in. First, let me apologize. The slide on the map is not that clear. Essentially, there are four areas: north, central, east, and south. North consists of the northern sub-district and the western sub-district, with a little bit of an enclave into Hauto Bay, which normally would be in the southern sub-district. The south consists of Mitchell's Plain and the southern sub-district. But as I said, Hout Bay, which is normally in the south, for the area of the city of Cape Town's new four-area system, has been engulfed by the north. With respect to the central, where you see Tigerberg and Klipfontein, then they constitute the central area. And then the east is comprised of Eastern Sub-District and Khayelitsha Sub-District. The Western Cape has its own substructures. The east is the same for both substructures, with a little bit of a difference in that Mandalay, which normally lies in is Mitchell's Plain Sub-District, in the way the city of Cape Town has demarcated it, now lies in Khayelitsha. But it's a small area. So the colors tended to merge into one another. So my apologies for that. With respect then to the staff across, when you our staffing norms is determined generally by the need by the services being rendered and the headcount. So different areas, different facilities will be staffed differently depending on what their services they render and what their headcount is. We're working on a staff norming tool to try and balance that. But in the main, in areas, for example, in Khayelitsha, where there a lot of the services, city services, are run the whole package of care, you will find more a bigger mix of staff. And in some of the other services where the services are still developing, we didn't mention here that there are also facilities which are shared, where on the same premises the City of Cape Town and the provincial government share a facility, and services which are in close proximity, because the provincial government renders probably the majority of their services are comprehensive. So that's the way they are staffed. So it balances out according to where the need is in those particular areas. In terms of the community, maybe I was not clear in the terminology, but the community care workers we use who are assisting our facility actually are contracted with the provincial government. We have an agreement with the provincial government that the community care workers are placed at all facilities in the City of Cape Town, and those same community care workers. So it's the same community care workers we're using. The content of the SLA is quite broad, and off the top of my head, but basically it defines our relationship. It defines broadly the services which is expected for us to render, and the services that the provincial government departments render in support. So, for example, they will have we will render a number of services, and they will render the emergency services, ambulance services in support, some of the laboratory services, and the hospital service, and that kind of stuff. And then it outlines, we then indicate the number of the services we render per facility in the area, and then the split, what the amount, the transfer from the province to the city, and what the city contributes is also agreed on in the service level agreement, and that's signed off. In addition to that, so when I talked about the collaborative framework, up to this point in time, it's been part of it, and also an agreement on the health information management and how health information is gathered, the city and the province, and how that they dovetail and they sync. So they, for example, city uses at its facility a premise system, which is patient records, health information system, which web-based and captures the information electronically, but we need to report this information to the province, who then send it forward, and there's a protocol under which we need to report it. So it's exported to Sinjani, and then Sinjani takes it forward to DHIS and the like. So those arrangements are included as annexures in the service level agreement. That talks to the cooperative framework. It was entered into a few years ago. We may be reviewing it in the near future, but it talks to things like what is the service level agreement monitoring committee, what is it constituted of, you know, the issues I raised here, the functions of the service level monitoring committee, what monitoring, planning, overseeing service delivery and whatnot. Those are also included in that agreement. It's an overarching document of our interdepartmental, intergovernment cooperative management and oversight of the services. With respect to infrastructure, the main issues of infrastructure I talked about overlap is with respect to planning. Because in years gone by, we would actually physically sit together and we plan and say, this area is in need of a service and which area should take priority. And if this facility is built, who's going to build it and who's going to run it? So the city province has developed a 2030, I think, infrastructure plan, which they've shared with us. We are in the process of developing a sector plan for social services, which includes those facilities. And we have a technical working group between the city and the province on infrastructure, where we'll engage with each other. So that if we're going to build a facility in Khayelitsha and the province is going to build a facility, we don't both build it at the same place, and ensure that this split is that the services are rendered equitably across. With respect to the issues of effectiveness in the collaboration, it's not an easy question to answer. There are challenges. where we work together and we have differences of opinion, but there are issues where we work together and we resolve issues amicably, where there might be differences of interpretation of policy or human resource issues. I'm not in position to say I can grade the way the collaboration works. With respect to the services within the SLA, the SLA does talk to services which the province will fund. They will fund HIV services, they will fund TB services, comprehensive services, and they, a certain amount of money is provided by the province for that. However, the city also provides money for the same services because the province doesn't fund total bill of the service. In that respect, there's a shared collaboration, there's a shared contribution and commitment. And that is noted in the service level agreement because it talks about what resources, monetary resources are brought by both sides, and that is signed off in the service level agreement. In terms of infrastructure, the city funds infrastructure of city facilities and the province funds infrastructure of the province facilities. There isn't a crossover. To this point, the service level agreement doesn't include any transfer of funds from province to city with respect to building any of the facilities or extension of facilities or vice versa. The EHPs, I can't remember off the top of my head how many they are. All I know that they're inadequate for the norms required. I think the norm is 1 per 10,000 member of the population. I think we're sitting at 123,000 members of the population, so I'm not exactly sure of the number. The city is looking to try and bridge that gap by creating more additional posts for that. The environmental health practitioners are involved in the formal and informal sector. One of the key performance areas of environmental health practitioner is to visit informal settlements on a weekly basis to identify risks to health and pass them on to the relevant authority and ensure that they are done. Also, with respect to monitoring of food and water, they're in the both formal and informal sectors of society. The challenges faced by environmental health, one is the number. We do not have sufficient environmental health practitioners to cover the area, to cover the whole community as required by the norms, national norms and standards. There are some issues in terms of security in the areas in which they go. The issues which, with respect to legislation, which the city is in the process of dealing with an environmental health bylaw, which is still to be passed. The increased burden of work, provincial facilities, for example, were never the domain of environmental health practitioners, but that service has been devolved to the city's environmental health practitioners, and the capacity to do so has been not followed. So additional resources have not been provided for that, but they have to take up that responsibility. So those are just a couple of the challenges. Linkages to IDP, I've said so, that is part of the role of environmental health to ensure that they identify environmental factors which can be detrimental to the healthy lifestyle or to the health and development of the communities, also to ensure that the water is safe, to ensure the food is safe, to ensure the disposal of the dead is within legislation, and lots of areas, and all those fall within the caring city and the well-run city. Improving health life improving health lifestyle. The ultimate goal is health. And so how do we measure improved health? It's quite difficult. The impact of health is not only as a result of health services, but it's societal issues. But we're looking at, for example, the infant mortality rate, which has been dropping for many years. We believe we are contributing to that. We're looking at the average lifespan, average years of life, has been increasing. The indicators such as transmission, the HIV positive children as a result of transmission from the vertical transmission from the mother has come down significantly. We're looking at adolescent number of children born to adolescent mothers or mothers under 18. That figure also has been coming down for a number of years. So some of those are issues which we look at. But of course, the burden of disease guides us, and when on a regular basis that is reported, and we see the progress in that regard. This is not a city issue, it's a health issue. So, as I said, from a health perspective, city and province work hand in glove to arrange, as you have seen, places like Ngalicha, particularly eastern, where the burden of disease is high, there's a great collaboration. I can only give you an example of the recent diphtheria mini outbreak in Khayelitsha. It fell between two of our facilities, the Kwezi CDC and Nomzamo CDC, and the facility, the staff from both facilities worked over weekend, day and night to ensure that the immunization and prophylaxis was given to the community and that the disease did not spread. So there's a lot. Which I could answer the question, how does one know which services are offered by the city and which services are offered by provincial government? And really, we wouldn't want them to know. We'd want them to know that the services rendered, and we should be rendering it all, and without actually saying that I'm going to a province facility, I'm going to a city facility. The goal is that they should be comprehensive, integrated, personal primary health care at almost all facilities. And however, these facilities are clearly marked. You know which is a provincial facility and which is a city facility. We have complaints and compliments processes which are separate, which community member will know that if I'm not satisfied in this facility, I can complain at that facility and it will go to the relevant management, or I can go, I can take the complaints and compliments procedure of the provincial government, because it will be a provincial facility, it will be showing on the board outside. Shared facilities might be an issue, but I'm sure at the facility itself, the community will be made aware. We are striving to render more or less the same services. Historically, provincial services facilities have rendered comprehensive services, the day hospital and the CDC, so much more than the city. And so in that respect, I can understand the question. If you want to know if what your city facility serves, it will be written at any facility, there must be a list of the services rendered. And on the city website, there should be something. If it's not there, we'll ensure that it's there. With respect to the specialized services, I'm, again, off the top of my head, I think the male clinics are...
In Khayelitsha and in Area 3.
Yes, I think there are two, but I think there are three in total, if I'm not mistaken. And in also in Khayelitsha and in Central, I think that's the Klipfontein area. Mental health, in terms of funding, I think the provincial, Western Cape Provincial Government Department of Health will be able to answer that. The adult PAC protocol, which has come out, does empower clinical nurse practitioners and nurses to some degree to manage mental health, screen and manage mental health conditions not at the level of a psychiatrist and probably not at the level of a specialist psychiatric nurse, but the large entry level screening and diagnosis and early treatment can be done by them. And that is funded then by whoever is rendering it. It's not specific. But in terms of the specialist nurses, and psychiatrists and psychologists, that is not part of the city service. And with respect to provincialization, I must say that when we were asked to come here, we were not told that it has anything to do with provincialization. We were informed that we needed to give a presentation on the collaboration between the city and the province. In the short space of time, I felt that because this is not a group of people familiar with the city, that we should take a bit of time to give an overview of the city. So hence, it's a little bit light on the depth of the collaboration, but maybe my colleagues from province will have more detail on that. That's about it.
It's not a follow-up, but I just want to know how many current staff is in that directorate, health professional staff.
Thank you, Chair. My follow-up is on the environmental health practitioners. I want to know in which areas under the assessment are they deployed in? I know there's informal settlements everywhere, but I want to be specific and know where exactly do we find these environmental officers.
Thank you. And then in terms of your substance abuse program, located in four areas that you have mentioned, and then I'm latching on to Member Mitchell. Vacancies currently within City Health, what is the number that we are looking at, and in terms of timeline to fill, and your special services with regards to sex workers also within the operational hours of your facility. And then you spoke about your complaints and your compliment program. During the 17-18 financial year, what are the numbers that you have handled, and how do you then those persons who especially lodged the complaints, how do you communicate to them in terms of addressing those? And what was the challenges in terms of the appointment system and the electronic appointment tool that you are going to introduce? Speak to the challenges around that, please. Member Makaleni?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, on the SLAs and the collaboration, just curious to understand, how is the physical monitoring done? Yeah? On everything that you have an agreement on, and how often that is done? And how often is the SLA reviewed? And when it's reviewed, were there any major issues that were identified in the past 2 years, maybe. If also, Chairperson, just want to understand, if NHI will be implemented, if the minister will say, I'm implementing NHI next year, how ready is the city of Cape Town to do that? Maybe I'm still confused on what informs the sub-district divisions. Even Jay, you can just take me through that. Then maybe lastly, on page 4, Chair, there's a question on, there is a sentence that speaks about the financing of the City of Cape Town. The transfer payment to the City of Cape Town is made, but does not cover totally for the service. I wanted to understand what are they doing in the city to compensate for the difference that they will have in terms of their financial meet the requirements? And will that have an impact on the SLA and the collaboration?
Okay. Maybe if you can speak to the percentages in terms of the shortfall, what you get and what the shortfall is.
Chair, when explaining to me about the different facilities, the one that belongs to SATI, the one that belongs to the province, will be clearly marked outside. Now, the one that is joined, what is it marked outside?
I wanted to speak to you about staff. You know, we know that in terms of our care workers and the challenges that they work within, in terms of the communities and the communities they serve, how does SATI help support its staff in terms of going when they go through these challenges? Thank you, Ness.
Number of staff, Dr. Farid?
1,683. That's professional staff that work. So we're not a directorate, we're a department. Social services, which City Health falls under, is a directorate.
With respect to the deployment of environmental health practitioners, they're deployed across the whole city. They've got, on average, two offices per sub-district, and environmental health practitioners then are deployed from to render services in the formal and informal settlements or sectors in the area across. The challenges over there are different, but they all render similar services. Yeah. The substance abuse program, the matrix program, it's in six facilities. Each one facility per sub-district, but it's spread across the four areas. So each area has at least one service. The goal is to have them at least in every sub-district. Should have been eight services, and they are attached to our primary healthcare facilities. Unfortunately, resources have become a challenge. We're still working on that. The instructor vacancy is the exact number. I know Dr. Farid is sitting at about 7, just over 9% vacancy rate. And the turnaround time?
So in 6 months we have a usual turnaround time, but also just to remember that we have a high attrition of nurses because they generally go over to the private sector or go international. So.
So with the exact number, I think we'll have to come back to you. I'm not sure of the exact number, but it's a 9% vacancy rate. In terms of the... 7%. I won't go home now.
Well, now we're not sure whether 7 or 9.
No, the way the boss knows better than I on that. Yes, so 7%, so I apologize. Specialized services, services with respect to sex workers within our normal hours, yes. It's mostly sensitized people, so against discrimination against them. The complaints and compliments, again, the exact number, I don't know off the top of my head.
So in this financial year, we've had about 6,000 complaints that have come through, and sometimes they come with compliments as well. So with 6,000, we have a C3 request system within the city, and each complaint that's received, we actually investigate each and every complaint. We contact each and every complainant, and feedback is given to them as well. We have a turnaround time of 23 days. There are those that may exceed it, like noise control and pollution, but we aim to 90% of ours actually we achieve the target of 23 days.
Are they in different languages?
Complaints? So if So we, if there is in a different language, then we would try and address it with someone that actually can interpret for us. So we do have a department in the city that will help with interpretation.
But is it accommodative for that to be done?
Yes.
It's like if people want to make a complaint, they know that they can make it in their own language. And they... Okay.
Just help on that. I think what Member Lake said through you, Member Makalene, was referring to is that the form that is available, is it available in all languages? The actual complaint form?
I will have to get back to you, but I think it is in three languages, but I will confirm that.
What are the patients mostly complaining about?
So majority of our complaints are actually rodents and waste disposal, majority of them. We actually receive some clinic complaints, but they're not a lot of complaints.
And compliments?
We do receive a significant number. I don't have the breakdown for the financial year.
I request that in writing.
Right. The appointment system. So the challenges with respect to appointment system are issues. For example, we need to get buy-in. Not all staff and all facilities are buying into it because of the traditional way they've been working on. So we are working on that. Expectations of community members. The issue of absenteeism on the day of an appointment. So the appointment is scheduled and the staff member is not available. Managing that process, whether the appointee is given another appointment or somebody has to take extra load. So those are the main challenges off the top of my head. In terms of the electronic system, we still want to roll it out from 1st of July, but the testing has been quite good. The uptake in the testing has been quite good. We anticipate there will be challenges in buying because we're using an electronic process not everybody is familiar with. There will be a change management process. We've engaged on, we've got a change manager, and then we will roll it out step by step. Those are amongst the challenges and of the two.
Sorry, Paul, can I just add to the appointment system? What we're actually doing is a change management. We've currently already embarked on the change management with the current manual system. So by the time we hopefully, if we launch the electronic system, we're able to bed down many of these challenges. But we're committed to keep the appointment system to prevent the queuing and increasing the accessibility to health.
What's your timeline for implementing?
The electronic system. That's in, what's the date, Paul, is at the end of this year, hey?
So the First July, we'll pilot it over two months, and then we roll it out for the remainder of our financial year. So it's going to take another 10 months or so to roll out to all facilities. We expect by the end of June next year that it's in all facilities, electronic version.
So what two facilities will you embark on with regards to the pilot?
We've identified 8 facilities. I can't remember them off the top of my head. The facilities ranging from in all areas and ranging from a facility-related comprehensive package of care to smaller facilities. The physical monitoring, I'm not sure. I think that I won't be able to answer. Maybe my colleagues will answer it. We monitor services with data, so the quarterly data review on our plan do to see how services are being measured according to the targets which have been set, and in what areas and between the authorities. So that is the main focus of our measurement, and obviously the financial aspect, what how the expenditure is being accrued and the claims because of the system of claims. So those are the main issues in terms of physical expending monitoring. Generally, as far as I know, we don't monitor each other's facilities, but our management do physically inspect their facilities under their own care. And with the Ideal Clinic, program rolled out, there is a structured process of assessment of facilities to see whether they're meeting the Ideal Clinic standards or not. But it's not across the departments. In terms of the SLA is signed on an annual basis and it's reviewed on an annual basis. I would be lying to you if I said there are no challenges. We have a number of differences of opinion on what lies within the SLA. We attempt to discuss them and have an amicable agreement on what lies in the SLA, and it varies from a number of things like expectations. We are in the process now of engaging signed the next SLA and as discussions continue. I can't say specifically what the number of issues which I on top of my head, I don't want to mislead you. And that would be my side of the story anyway. I mean, it's a two-sided story. But suffice to say, it is not a question of just signing a document and saying we're all hunky-dory. There's an extensive engagement which goes before we sign. NHI, how ready? We are working on the proviso that it will not come tomorrow. If it did come tomorrow, we would not be ready. However, we are working towards one, the Ideal Clinic as part of part of the process to ensure that all our facilities will have achieved Ideal Clinic status and will be ready to be assessed for national core standards, which are a bit more stringent. And that is our main objective. Thereafter, we should be able to render NHI services as required. Whether you're asking whether we'll be able to manage it, I can't tell you whether we'll be able to manage it by the time it comes out. If that is the approach we take, seeing that we're in a partnership as it is, tomorrow we would definitely not be able to take it over. There's still gaps to be filled. With respect to the transfer of payment,
City contributes 60% and province contributes 40%, and it's indicated in the SLA as well.
The impact on the shortfall is we all struggle for resources, and it's not a city issue. We know province has their own challenges with funding, as all government departments do have now. And so the fact that both of us have to contribute, we both have challenges meeting then what our goals would be in terms of rendering the service. So I wouldn't tell you that the specific shortfall, the impact of shortfall specifically, we would love to employ more staff, we'd love to render services in more places. And that's that shortfall, obviously, from both sides, obviously, impacts that. A question you asked about joint facilities, I must say it's the first time I've thought about it. I haven't physically been to a shared facility in a while, so I'm not exactly sure.
There's both
for us.
Yeah, there's
both
city and provincial.
Thank you very much. I'm office bound these days, so that might be a weakness on my part. And then with respect to healthcare workers and their challenges. So healthcare workers and be they personal primary healthcare workers working in the community and environment, healthcare workers face a number of challenges. Security is a big issue. Security, even in our facilities, is a big issue. We are having incidents where there's actual gang violence in the facilities itself. People in the facilities, the security. There's also the emotional aspect of people rendering service to vulnerable communities. Babies who might come moribund and die in the service. There are issues of interpersonal stress between service providers and community members. So there are a number of issues. So we deal with them as per policy. We look at the security arrangements. We look at we have an EAP, employee assistance program in the city, which will address issues, for example, exposure to traumatic circumstances. We internally have a mentorship system. We have at City Health, we have a mentorship program. We identify facilities which are under strain, and then a psychologist visits those facilities on a regular basis until it's identified that that particular facility is there coping at the moment. There's a couple of things which are.
Makaleni and Doctor?
Chair, I've asked a question on what informs the disaster division. For example, when the example was made of Mitchell, of Mandalay not being in Mitchell's Plain, rather in Kalicha, that one of the examples that made me to want to understand what informs the subdivision if they are not in line to the city of Cape Town demarcation. Because, for example, Mandalay falls under Mitchell's Plain in terms of the city of Cape Town demarcation, but for services, they now fall in Kailich. And that's what I need to understand, what informs the subdivision.
Thank you, Chair. My Chair is a follow-up on the state of readiness for the city of Cape Town to implement the NHI. And I want to check what exactly are the issues, and if there are bottlenecks, what processes are undertaken to ensure that if it can come next week or tomorrow, how far can we go? Will it be feasible to implement it and to be able to unblock these bottlenecks? And the one chair that I have not received a response on is on the issues of mental health. I'm hoping that the province will still be able to respond to that question.
Then on your EAP program, of your health facilities personnel, what is the number that have requested support of EAP because of the challenges that they go through in the communities that they have served, and what can you speak to your absenteeism pattern with regards to your health care facilities?
Apologies about the subdivision. So the city of Cape Town, as part of the ODTP process, divided the area, city, into four areas. The four areas are along sub-council boundaries, and that sub-council boundaries don't follow religiously our gazetted sub-district boundaries. So we are, in terms of the our area-based management, a little bit at odds with what we would like to be. But internally, we manage the process so that that we pay Peter what is Peter and Paul what is Paul. So that is a political decision. We have no influence on that. In terms of the readiness to implement NHI, a couple of things are holding us back in terms of NHI, which we're busy with, and that's infrastructure. a lot of our facilities have infrastructure needs. We have engaged the city for a capital budget to address ideal clinic and NHI infrastructure requirements. We've identified where the areas are, we're waiting for the approval of the budget to see how to move forward. Services delivered, we're in the process of rolling out the services where the gaps are, and in terms of training of staff. There's also an issue of staff shortages, so we are also addressing that, because we're going to roll out more services in facilities which have one or two people, or even if it's a bigger facility, we're expecting larger numbers, so we need to ensure that the service mix is correct. And our service mix is very light on doctors and pharmacists, and that's one of, particularly pharmacists, it's one of the issues which we're busy addressing with the city. So that is all contingent on the budget availability. We have put our proposals forward, but the budget hasn't been passed yet, and I'm not sure. I can't tell you what the status is with regards to readiness. Otherwise, with the other policies and protocols, we're up to date. I will jump again the mental health funding, because you specifically asked for about funding, and I can't address that funding. And then with respect to the EAP, again, I can't tell you off the top of my head the numbers. But our current major problem, which is bedeviling our staff, is violence in the community, and particularly gang warfare. The areas in Mannenberg, Hanover Park, areas in Kylie, and Elsie's River, and those areas. Also, parts of Kylie has become quite strenuous, and for that, whole facilities are accessing EAP. But obviously, the EAP's main role is to contain the problem, and then not all of them progress to regular sessions with them. So that's the number one issue, I think, which brings a rise to staff concern. The absenteeism pattern, we've maintained an absenteeism. The city's target is 5%, so we've maintained an absenteeism of less than 5% for a long time, and it remains. With respect to the pattern, it varies depending on from area to area. There are areas which have higher absenteeism, and we haven't analyzed that at this point exactly. But across the board, it's within the city of Cape Town.
Okay. Members, if there are no more follow-ups or questions, then that takes care of this presentation part of this committee meeting. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And
I just want to check if you're releasing them.
No,
they're staying for the next presentation.
Okay. Because I wanted to say what
if they wanted to leave, they're staying. I'm going to then say we're going to break for tea now, before we start the next presentation. Mm-hmm. But you're not excused, eh? You stay.
No, I'm not. Why are you taking the
tea will take, well, it's now 10:20. If we can come back to 10:45, then we'll stop.